I'd have preferred to be run over than have this happen to me, said Brescia owner Massimo Cellino. Let's go back in time for some context. It was all smiles when Brescia won on the final day of Serie B to stay up. Then came the points deduction. Then Brescia and Cellino watched as Sampdoria played Salernitana in the playout. Brescia go down, but they're not deregistered. What happens next? We're going to find out. But firstly, there are tens of millions worth of players that have to go somewhere. Where are they going? We're going to try and answer that for you as well. Is there a full cultural conspiracy at play? Dan Cantiano, our senior writer at Destination Culture, you've written on this. Take us through the Brescia situation and Cellino.
Well, how long have you got? It's the first question. Right, let's start from the end, shall we? Brescia Calcio 1911, which is the team that Roberto Baggio played for, that Pep Guardiola played for, the team that was in Serie B last season, as you mentioned, are no more. The FIGC, the Italian FA, has revoked their license to operate, which, as far as a football club is concerned, means that they cannot play in any league in Italy.
So no Brescia in, obviously, Serie B, they were relegated, Serie C, they're correct. Not going to be there.
No, they're not going to be there.
Where are they going to be?
They're going to be in two divisions under different guys, and Massimo Cellino is going to have nothing to do with either of them. In other words, Brescia have been, as you said, they've been deregistered. The reason why they've been deregistered is because Cellino would have had to pay £2.5 million worth of cost. That included the registration fee. That included a month worth of salaries. That included social contribution to the Italian equivalent of HMRC. And he decided against it. Now,
was there a payment plan in there? He had to pay something off as well?
Yeah, there was a payment plan that he had that was already agreed with, again, Italian equivalent of HMRC. He decided not to go ahead with that. Now, that does not mean that Brescia have gone bust. Brescia Calcio are a company that is part of Cellino's business empire. If you go through the books, Brescia have not gone bust. So this is something like, it's important to note because a lot of people talk about, you know, clubs going bankrupt, clubs going to the wall. This is not what's happened here.
So they're still existing.
They exist.
It's kind of like a ghost. There's no players there. There's no staff.
Correct, yeah.
But the stadium's still there and someone's going to be there.
Yeah. So the moment that Cellino decided against renewing Brescia's license, Brescia's city council sprung into action. And they organize a consortium of local businessmen. Brescia is Italy's richest province because they didn't want professional football to leave the city.
The irony behind the whole situation is...
Indeed, yeah. Luckily for them, Giovanni Pazzini, the president of the Lombardy's branch of Confindustria, which is the Italian Chamber of Commerce, and the... who also happens to be on the board of Feralpi, a steel conglomerate, one of the biggest in Italy. He owned a club called Feralpi Salo in the town of Salo, which is about 20 miles away from Brescia.
As official broadcasters of Serie B, they were in Serie B a couple of years ago.
They were, yeah, a town famous, obviously, for its involvement in World War II when Benito Mussolini formed the Republic of Salo, which... didn't last very long.
History here on DC with
Dan. Yeah, well. And so going back to Brescia, Pazzini said, we are the closest club to Brescia in terms of geography. Yeah. We'll step in. So he effectively moved Feral Pisalo to Brescia to ensure there'd be professional football of some kind.
Is it a matter of being an opportunist here or is he doing it for the community?
Well, I suppose, as ever with this, it depends. It depends on your point of view. He's probably doing it for he's doing it for the community because, you know, Brescia is such a rich footballing tradition and
could be a friends with benefits situation. We'll fill this void.
Well, put it this way, he's rescued the club, but at the same time, he's sent another club. If not to the wall, you know, there's not going to be a club playing Salo anymore. And they've sort of been by the by in all this conversation, because the focus has obviously been on Brescia. But the key thing with Pazzini moving the club to Brescia is that, yes, he's ensured professional football will be played in Brescia next season. Feral Pisalo would have been in Serie C. They have changed their name to Union Brescia. They have a lion on their badge, which was, it's very reminiscent of the one that Brescia had on their badge. But they are not Brescia. That is to say that if you were, let's say, if you're in a supermarket, now I don't advocate doing this, I'll never do it myself. You want to buy a jumper. Say, if you're in a shop, you want to buy
department store will go with, yeah, unless yeah. It's M&S.
And M&S, yeah. You want to buy a jumper and you were to sort of detach the barcode from a book and put it on a jumper, you would be holding a jumper in your hands, but when the barcode is scanned, it will still be scanned as a book.
True. Okay, two different products, totally.
Correct.
Okay.
What is happening here is that Ferral Pisalo are going to compete on the Union Brescia at the Mario Rigamonti Stadium, which was where Brescia played their home games. They're going to be playing in white and blue. They have been backed by Brescia fans. This is effectively their Phoenix club, except that the barcode is still Ferral Pisalo's barcode.
So hang on, Brescia supporters, the most loyal ones you're saying,
yeah,
who probably have some beef in the past with Ferral Pisalo, are keen to go over there. It feels like you know, people are jumping ship here. From
yes,
a fan point of view,
insofar, but the only thing jumping ship here are not the fans, it's the club. So the club is jumping ship to become a different club purely so the football can continue in Brescia.
Would these be the same fans that perhaps rebelled against Cellino earlier in the 2024-25 season?
I would imagine so, undoubtedly so.
And we've got that piece up there by Calcio England on the
now,
website if you want to read about
there,
that.
There are different strands to this story, obviously. And the other strand of this is the FIGC rules stipulate that you can't just move clubs from, you know, A to B. This is not the NFL, it's not the NBA. You can't move a franchise from one city to another and just carry on as if nothing happened. If a club goes bust, and again, we should stress the Brescia haven't gone bust. If a club goes...
They have not gone bust yet, yeah.
If a club goes bust, the city council, local businessmen, can get together and form a Phoenix club, which is normally allowed to start from the Eccellenza, which is the fifth year of Italian football. To do that, they need to submit a request, which is normally approved by the FIGC and by the LND, which is the body that oversees non-professional football in Italy. Because obviously, non-professional football in Italy is organized by regions, and each division has a certain number of teams. If you were to create a Phoenix club, you'll have an odd number of teams in a particular league, but the league can still say, yeah, we know what's happened. We know why there is a Phoenix club. You're allowed to join the league, regardless of it being a 21 league team rather than 20 or 23 rather than 22. And by Italian FA rules, that is the team that carries the barcode of the club that has gone bust.
Okay.
So Brescia now have done that as well. Brescia Calcio 1911 is no more because the license has been revoked.
So they're not being recognised by the footballing bodies.
They are not being recognised by the footballing bodies. Union Brescia are, and the Union Brescia were Ferral Pisalo until 2 months ago.
I'm following this, yes. And they're going to be in Serie C.
Yes, and in...
Third division.
Yeah, and in the fifth year of Italian football, you're going to have Calcio Brescia 1911, which again are going to have the same colours as the old Brescia, are going to have a very similar badge, and the figurehead behind this club is the city mayor, and they're going to start from fifth division. Now, at some point, there is a chance that like Calcio Brescia 1911 and Union Brescia may play in the same division. It's unlikely, admittedly, because Brescia will have to go down and Union Brescia will have to go down and Calcio Brescia may have to come up. But there is the possibility. This is not new either. This happened in Catania, happened in Messina.
Is there enough room in Brescia for two professional teams?
There isn't, I would imagine. And what is going to happen here is a classic case of Italian fudge, which means you're going to have the two clubs meeting each other halfway. Business interest, political interest, community interest will all come together. And this is purely speculation. I would imagine that the name would become Calcio Brescia 1911, which sounds a lot closer to Brescia Calcio 1911 and sounds a lot better than Union Brescia.
It does take a while. Traditionally in history, we've seen other clubs Napoli, yeah. Parma.
The bottom line here is...
they eventually reclaim their previous history.
Yeah,
the previous successful club.
That is the
club.
Key point. So the team in fifth division, Calcio Brescia 1911, are the rightful successor to Brescia's history, according to the FIGC rules. However, given what Pazzini has got, the lens is going to effectively bring a club to Brescia purely to ensure the professional football continues in the city, my guess is that you will eventually be able to reclaim the club's history, the club's badge. They cannot reclaim the club's name. There has to be a slight difference, which is why, going back to what I just said earlier, they're probably going to take on the name Calcio Brescia 1911 themselves.
And they'd have to be the favourites for this because, obviously, people love a winner or the most successful option. And there seems to be a little bit of money behind Pazzini, considering that they're a multinational steel company. They're not just in Italy. They're in all other parts of Europe, even in Africa now. So that is a big plus. If you are from Brescia, you're looking for the most successful option, Pazzini might be the man.
It is. And obviously, I think the team that are now in the 50th year of Italian football, the Calcio Brescia, it's sort of like, it's about optics as well. Like, there has to be that, you know, that club has to be there, if nothing else, so that the Italian FIGC can say, well, every box has been ticked here, you know, the process has been followed. Because if that club hadn't been put together, then there'll be Pazzini's consortium will actually have like free reign to reclaim Brescia's history, and that cannot be seen to happen.
Let's just change the direction here. What is happening in the office of wherever Massimo Cellino is at this point? What's his next move?
His next move, presumably, is the first thing will be toss away the set of keys that he has to Rigamonti, which he did not return, and the city council had to effectively get a locksmith to force the gates open. His next move is, I mean, Cellino is notoriously unpredictable. We've seen him at Cagliari, we've seen him at Leeds. As you mentioned at the top of the show, David, he has convinced himself that there is a conspiracy to get him down of some kind. Now, we should say that Cellino, it's sort of like, he has mentioned that there is a conspiracy to get him down, but he has never actually indicated who may be behind this conspiracy.
Well, he said this, and it's in your piece. I was defrauded. They defrauded me and the tax authorities. They defrauded everyone. We are all victims, and I am devastatingly sorry.
Yeah. He never quite points out who they may be. But yeah, I mean, it's...
is he alluding to a conspiracy between footballing bodies and maybe perhaps people like Pazzini or other people that may have been interested in because if you start to see the chaos that was ensuing during the season, fans protesting back in November, it all started to fall apart. They were in the relegation zone for a while. They eventually saved themselves in the last season. You'd be thinking, happy days. He was trying to sell the club. Let's not forget that. Cellino was trying to sell Brescia, and he was asking for 25 million euros at the time, more than enough to pay off some of the debts, pay the bills. Nothing was coming through. Perhaps he was looking for a foreign investor. We've seen Monza now sold. There's lots of potential for clubs from Lombardy as well.
Yeah.
Monza now being taken off the Berlusconis. If you haven't seen that, go and watch that episode. And so what could have happened if he sold that club during the season? Can you even sell during the season for realistically, if you're a Serie B club?
I think there are two slight differences. Strands of the story then came together at the right time. I think Cellino's conspiracy, he claims that there's been a conspiracy to relegate Brescia to Serie C and to save Sampdoria, which to an extent is something that, if you read in between the lines on a lot of newspaper reports in Italy, on a lot of social media chatter, I wouldn't say that is accepted, but a lot of people, perhaps more than I would have thought.
They thought that Samp was up to something. Genoa supporters were saying that Samp were up to no good.
Yeah, there's something odd about, Sampdoria, such a massive club, going down to Serie C and then Brescia get investigated. The timing's really convenient for this. The problem with... I think the Cellino's main issue with Brescia going down to Serie C wasn't so much the relegation, it was the fact that it stopped his proposed sale. He wanted out.
He wanted out, and he was nearly there.
Yeah.
He was looking for a payday.
Yeah. Now, we both know how things work in Italian football. To suggest that this whole thing has been orchestrated purely to prevent Chiellini from selling Brescia seems absurd.
And the way he went down, he's been benefited previously. Brescia has twice when I think Parma went bankrupt. They stayed up because of that.
And Regina went bankrupt.
Then Regina, when they had people in Inzaghi as coach 2 seasons ago, was it? Brescia got relegated through the playout process, lost to Cosenza, but then came back.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would have been complaining then. Was it a conspiracy then, do you think?
Well, that is the
against Regina.
Question, isn't it?
And was he part of it? Was he orchestrating it back then? Because that would be what he's thinking now with Samp.
Yeah. The thing with Chiellini is also you never quite know where he says something to get a reaction out of people and where he actually what he actually believes. Chiellini, the great irony of this is, as you mentioned, Pazzini, stepping in to say Brescia is that Chiellini, when he came on board, he lashed out at local investors saying, Brescia is the richest province in Italy. How come that none of you want to buy this club, Why do I have to come in, from Leeds where,
Was it a sales pitch, do you think, that he was saying, look, everyone's here, everyone's got money, why doesn't a local person buy? And if not, maybe a foreign investor, maybe. But also, we should just mention, commiserations going out to the Brescia fans, the turmoil they're going through at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they were great during this season, even though there was a lot of chaos through the season. That overhead kick. We've seen Borelli with a few good goals. A lot of high points during the season wasn't just low points, but commiserations going out to the Rondinelle tifosi out there.
No, absolutely. And so Chiellini's basically, he painted himself as as the white knight rescuing Brescia. Brescia were owned by Luigi Curioni, a local entrepreneur throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. He was
the Mazzone days.
Yeah, he was the man in charge in Carlo Mazzone era, signed Baggio, Iglitare, Luca Toni, Pep Guardiola, and before that,
Andrea Pirlo,
yeah. And before that, you look at the likes of, Gio Chiaggi, Florian Raducciu, who played for Brescia. Yeah. It does seem like a lifetime ago.
A distinguished club, especially back then, to play at that, in the glory days.
No, exactly.
That era of Serie A, they were there.
Gio Chiaggi played for Real Madrid, and he stayed at Brescia in Serie B.
Yeah.
It's both incredible, and it makes me feel incredibly old. Thinking about that.
Pre-Bosman days, I guess we all feel old if you were around before that. And back then there was a lot more loyalty to clubs and there was a lot more prestige about staying with that club.
So Curioni also played fast and loose with financial regulation. Let's just say that. But that was the era of sort of football in Italy deregulated itself. No one had to deregulate it. It just deregulated itself. There was money flying about. Even money that wasn't really there to be spent, was being spent anyway.
That's regulation. We spoke about this in the Berlusconi dynasty pod that you and Emmett did, how it would be up to the president how much they wanted to shell out
To
see how successful the club would be.
So. Exactly. But then Brescia went through, Curioni eventually had to sell. Brescia went through turbulent times. And then, as I was saying, Chiellini stepped in. And it seemed ironic at the time, but if you look at it, what he said now, it's almost, eerily, there's sort of like eerily prescient what he said, because he basically was asked, don't you think that this is madness for you to come in and like take over this club? And he said, well, it may be madness, but I'm fully committed to it. And, if we're doing things right, then we're going to be okay. Now, you may argue that he didn't exactly do things right. But then again, Brescia stayed up, avoided relegation under him. Fans were unhappy. It was clear that he never targeted anything more than avoiding relegation to Serie C. But now he finds in a situation where the club haven't gone bust, but they can't operate. And if a club can't operate, they effectively have, they lose all.
They got no means. That's it, they're done.
That's French.
They're done. And we'll finish up the pod with, what are the players going to do? You'd think that there's so much equity in the player values, but we all know in Serie B, there's not too much money spent between clubs.
Yeah.
Every now and then we see players go up and down. We're going to write about that on destinationculture.com over the coming weeks as well, in the lead up to Serie A and Serie B. But just having a look at some of the players that have left, we've seen one of their most loyal servants, Dimitri Bisley, whose father coached there a couple of times and, yeah. and was there last season as an interim coach. Well, interim.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was there for 6 weeks. Pierpaolo was there. He coached, was sacked for Rolando Moran on either side. He was sandwiched in between two Moran tenures there last season. Dimitri's now gone to Cesena.
Yeah.
We've now seen Bessaggio's gone to Avellino. A lot of them staying in Serie B. Adorni to Modena. Andrenacci to Mantova. Bertagnoli to Reggiana. So great to see a lot of these
and
players.
And these are all players that are leaving on they're leaving for on a free.
They're leaving for free, yeah, effectively. Because there's nothing that they can do.
Yeah, and you know.
Contracts have been dissolved. That's it.
Contracts have been dissolved. Or some of them, you know, they would have been free agents anyway at the end of the season. But for others, as you said, the contracts are simply like null and void because Brescia have effectively ceased to exist as far as the FIGC is concerned. And the moment when you cease to exist, then the contracts no longer have any validity on the player, so you can't ask for any compensation, any financial compensation of any kind. And that is also true of the youth team. So I would imagine, I know of a couple of young players that have moved on to like youth teams of, you know, say Milan, Inter Milan or
Atalanta. Inter Milan, they said EG team as well.
Yeah, or Atalanta. And again, there's Brescia are not entitled to claim any compensation.
Yeah, well, Bari getting Dickman and also the scorer of that overhead kick, Gabriele Mancini, that's in our Serie B top 21 goals compilation that you can watch on the DCTV app. I think we'll leave it there, Dan, but thank you for taking us through the Brescia situation. We're sure it's going to evolve, and if there's any new developments, we'll put something up on the website and Dan will be covering it. Let us know what you think in the comments of the Cellino situation, his history. What would you do if you owed 3 million euros in payments? Brescia fans out there, how does this make you feel? Are you looking forward to Pazzini and the old Feralpi Salò coming in to take over and bring in Union Brescia? Or perhaps you prefer to follow Calcio Brescia 1911 in the fifth tier? Let us know.